You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast as we introduce to you our featured guest of the evening, my good friend and yours, Henrik Palmgren. Henrik was born in... Come on now, Henrik, I can't pronounce that. He was born in Sweden anyway, the land of the Goths. He is the founder and editor-in-chief of Red Ice. Most well known, of course, as the host of Red Ice Radio and TV. He produces all of the video content on Red Ice, including most of the music, graphics, and animation. Co-host of Red Ice Live, Weekend Warrior. Henrik is most connected with European politics, which is what brings him back to our show tonight, the ancestral traditions and health, heritage, and culture, and counteracting the globalists seeking to destroy it.
Henrik is our go-to guy on Europe and all things European.
That's right. He's the man. Henrik, how are you tonight, my friend?
Very good. Hi to both of you. Thank you for having me on again. It's great to be back.
And it's great to have you back, brother. So let's talk some good news tonight. We don't always get to do that, you know. But by all accounts, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, by all accounts, it would appear as though the elections that took place in the European Union were favorable to our side, which is the side of healthy, free-thinking men and women. Tell us if it's as good as it appeared, and what were the highlights as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question, of course. Many different countries involved, many different parties. There has been, obviously, great strides by some right-wing nationalist, anti-globalist parties in quite a few countries. In some other countries, that has been a little bit more disappointing. You know, we think they would, you know, fight back against the bureaucrats and the bureaucratic elite in Brussels a bit more, but some countries, I guess, are not really ready for that now. So I've kind of broken it down, looking at some of the most, you know, positive developments in a few of the countries, and just fire off a few immediately would be Italy has done very, very well, France as well, Britain, of course, with Nigel Farage's new party, the Brexit Party, which is literally, I think, 6, maybe now 7 weeks old party that actually won, which is an amazing feat. It's never happened in British history before. Very interesting. There might not be right-wing or nationalist enough for some people, but it's still a very, very good sign since they are running on one question issue, basically, which is Britain going to leave or not? Sweden was doing kind of, you know, so-so. Obviously, we want the Sweden Democrats to at least on paper perform well, even if they don't fulfill and check all the boxes that we like to see. But it was a little bit disappointing. I was wishing that the people would show a little bit more guts and vote for the politically incorrect alternative in this case, and it's been going so-so for the Sweden Democrats. We can talk more about that later, but then Netherlands was actually very interesting, too, watching. I can break down and talk a little bit more in specific on each country here, too, and the people involved and the parties. And then we have Belgium as well, which have done great strides. So those are the main countries I've been looking at. So if we begin with Italy, obviously, Matteo Salvini's Lega party was doing very, very, very well. He won at 34.3% of the votes, which is amazing, actually. And they've really put their faith in Salvini, and he has done a number of things, even consequently, after the election. And maybe I'm going to get too deep into the weeds immediately here, but I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but he's actually issued what's known as a parallel currency. Essentially, the EU is imposing fines on Italy right now, about 3.5 billion euros, for allegedly because they have failed to tighten. The wording they used was their fiscal belt. So Salvini has issued what is known as a mini BOT, I guess a mini bot, which is kind of like he's introduced this as Italy's short-term treasury bill, which would allow and act as a form of a parallel currency in competition with the euro. And so Reuters said that the treasury in Italy would print billions of euros of non-interest-bearing tradable securities, which could then be used by recipients to pay taxes and buy any services or goods provided by the state, including, for example, petrol at stations run by state-controlled oil companies and stuff like this. So he's really, Salvini has entered into a full-on battle, essentially, with the Eurocrats and going up against them and trying to create a bloc which essentially could destabilize the whole Eurozone. And he's seeking to do this, of course, with people like Le Pen in France, who also, by the way, did fairly well in this election. They actually did go down a few points, I believe, from the last EU election, but they still won on the national level at 24%. Not sure if it has anything to do with the rebranding. They used to be called National Front, but they actually changed it to National Rally. So again, I don't know if the rebranding helped or whatnot, but again, these bode very well for upcoming elections, considering how incredibly not popular Macron has been with all the yellow vest protests and stuff like that. So she's in a prime position. So it looks like they're trying to kind of create a new coalition. Now with Britain, and please interrupt me, guys, if you want to ask about any of this, but in Britain, Nigel Farage has said the Brexit Party, they won about at 30.5% of the votes. And Farage is heading up kind of a party inside of the European Parliament. There's different factions, basically. So you have MEPs and representatives from the different nations that go to the European Parliament, and then they form, or they are part of, rather, different kind of parties inside of the European Parliament. So he's part of something called the EFDD, which stands for Europe for Freedom and Direct Democracy. And so he's trying to form a bloc, and apparently there was one, I don't know all the details about that, but it was one of the bigger parties that didn't get from another nation that didn't get that many votes. So we might be looking at a creation of a kind of a new bloc or some kind of coalition inside, consisting of the primary Eurosceptic MEPs that have won essentially so many votes in this election. So those are, I guess, the three most positive of the fact that they all won. Then kind of on the second level of this, I would look at countries like the Netherlands and Belgium, for example. So there's a new country, and I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar, but Thierry Baudet, I guess you pronounce it, Baudet, who's at the helm of this new party called Forum for Democracy. And this guy actually met with Jared Taylor, by the way, at some point. They had dinner together and stuff, so he's a very interesting guy. He seems to be open to new ideas and stuff like that. And they got almost 11%. So they came in fourth place, which is, again, actually very good for a relatively new party. They essentially came out of nowhere. So in the Netherlands, go ahead. Interrupt me because I'm just
on. Henrik, no, that's all right. This is Keith. I just wanted to ask you, is there a breakout star from this election? Is there a country that you think is going to become the next Hungary? And also a third thing, what does this election portend, if anything, for white advocacy groups like the Political Cesspool, Red Ice, and all the numerous white advocacy groups that we have both here and in Europe? Is it going to be a thawing? Are we going to have more influence, less influence, whatever? Answer that question. Be thinking about it over this break and let us know when we get to the other side of these words from our sponsors.
Thank you, Keith.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Welcome back, everybody. Henrik Palmgren, our featured guest tonight. You know, I was listening to Henrik hold court in the last segment. If I didn't know better, you would think that Henrik was the host of his own show or something, the way he carried on and with such expertise and authority. Well, of course, you know he does, folks. RedIce.tv, they have no peer. RedIce.tv, what he and Lana are doing over there is truly inspirational. And should be supported, so be sure to check it out. And
certainly full of energy. I can guarantee you, I don't see where you get the energy to turn out all of those podcasts and webcasts.
They work a lot more hours than we do per week, I can tell you. But Henrik has done, in fact, some videos on this very topic that we brought him on the show tonight to discuss. And he had a tweet talking about that the fact that European nationalists and populists have made strong gains across the continent. You know, we used to look to Eastern Europe for some hope and inspiration, and now it may be spreading to the West as well. Is the West finally beginning to throw off its shackles, Henrik asks in a tweet. And just to recap what we're talking about here, what's going on across Europe, across the nations that make the European Union. In Britain, we saw the resignation of Theresa May, right, just immediately in advance of Nigel Farage's victory there in that country. Marine Le Pen has now become the most popular party in France. In Italy, Matteo Salvini is the boss now. In Belgium, you know, our good friend Philip De Winter, who was down here in Memphis with us a couple of years ago, his party, Vlaams Belang, has made a huge win.
And the question I asked...
Repose that question to Henrik, please.
Well, I don't know. Henrik may not need me to, but basically I wanted to know if there was any individual that was a breakout star of this last election. Is there any nation that looks like it's going to lead Europe back to the path of nationalism and away from the European Union? You know, what does all of this pretend for white advocates like Red Ice and the political cesspool?
Yeah, absolutely. I thinking about it in the break, it's Salvini. That's just how simple it is. I think many people would agree with me, due to the fact that he's really taken like the reins here of a new kind of Eurosceptic movement, I think, and one that's really opposed to the globalist policies that we've seen kind of enforced really from the from the Eurocrats and stuff like that. So Salvini's really the star. He's emerged as a new kind of leader. And again, not only in Italy, but actually in Europe overall. He's already met with, Hungary's Orban. They've had good meetings together. Apparently Orban, just as a side note quickly, did actually a little bit worse this time in the election, still came out, I think, number one, but there's been a lot of propaganda on foreign NGOs and stuff like that in Hungary to try to break down Orban's influence in the country. Largely, I think, due to the fact that Fidesz have been so, they're going after so hard people like George Soros and some of these other globalist forces too. But again, Italy with Salvini at the helm is I think going to hopefully maybe lead initiate something which other people other countries I should say and other leaders could kind of emulate or look to for inspiration, just as a kind of a note star of just saying, hey, it's actually possible. I mean, Salvini has implemented policies that are very family friendly. For example, article a couple of months ago now came out talking about how Italy are offering land to parents who have a third child, for example. You know, very simple means of doing things, which is encouraging for the low birth rates that we've seen in Italy. And these countries can lead by example, by showing this, in terms of how directly, in terms of the kind of questions that we talk about. I think a lot of these people understand the concerns that we have, and in many regards, they might not be as alarmist, maybe, or as outspoken as many of us are, but I still think they see those very same trends. They are trying to solve something on a political level instead of just kind of maybe up the rhetoric. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is, I think, again, as in Italy, they're trying to lead by example and show that they can return. I mean, Italy has been suffering greatly since the so-called migrant crisis was initiated. A lot of these open border policies and the way that they've been, in many regards, just flooded by people, which they can't deal with. And economically, Italy has been in a very bad situation as well, which again gets me back to that point that the fact that he's issued this parallel currency. We've seen people do that in the past, right? We even have, was it the greenbacks that JFK did or something like that? People have even speculated due to the fact that if you're trying to break away from central bankers, that's one of the biggest transgression that you can do in terms of the globalists. So people were immediately showing concerns. I saw online on Twitter if Salvini is going to come out of this alive due to the fact that he's opposing the financial forces basically in the world. So I don't know, that might be exaggerations and whatnot, but it's clear that they're trying to get to, and he's had three different judges imposing investigations on him. There's one minister, one of his sidekicks, that's been under corruption charges. I don't know if he was convicted or not, but he was removed, and this was apparently a guy who was very supportive of Salvini's methods. So it's clear that they're circling him right now, kind of in the same way that they did with Trump, to try to take away the support of people who is this satellite to a certain extent.
Well, Henrik,
fighting back, you know?
Well, I was just going to ask you this. So you're saying Salvini may be the breakout star in these elections. He is the boss in Italy. You mentioned Viktor Orban. His party won an absolute majority. Nationalists appear to be consolidating power in Hungary, Poland, Italy, among other places, even in Slovenia. This hasn't gotten a lot of pub, but the anti-immigrant party there, using the establishment's wording, has won the most votes in their election. So it would seem as though, and Pat Buchanan wrote a column about this recently, that nationalism is ascendant in Europe. But I would ask you this, Henrik, with just what time remaining, and Keith and I will continue to talk about it in the next segment. We only have you for a couple of more minutes. Do you feel as though this is a legitimate victory, or is this a more pyrrhic victory? Is this more Donald Trump's, where the rhetoric is going to outweigh the actual progress that could be made?
When all is said and done, more will be said than done.
Yeah, will more be said than done, or are these victories that we can really invest some hope in?
I don't know. It's very difficult to say. My answer is we'll just have to see. I think it's important.
But you are overall generally viewing these as a positive result.
Absolutely. I mean, it's
optimistic.
It's a move in the right direction. And again, whether or not they are able and capable of executing all the things they do say, or if they will essentially just kind of fail last moment in terms of implementing some of the policies that they've been running on, again, that remains to be seen. But it's about the desire of the dedication that the people is starting to get to individuals that are pushing these kinds of questions. much in the same way that Trump ran on the wall and controlling immigration. Those desires haven't gone away just because Trump failed on many of those issues and have kind of become a turncoat consequently. Again, are they the political saviors that we're looking for? Maybe not. We don't know, but it's certainly going to be much better to put them in a position where they do have this influence and can take the reins of the various, countries that they're in charge in to see if they can better and improve the situation. So I'm actually optimistic and positive, and we have to be positive. But again, if they're going to fail, very difficult to say. Yes, I know some of them are kind of weaker on some part, points and stuff like that. But the people are moving in the right direction. That's what's important to keep an eye on.
That is the excellent. You read my mind. That is the point I was going to make in closing here with our time with you, is that regardless of how sturdy and stout these elected leaders will be, and hopefully they will not only meet but exceed expectations, the people are with us. The popular opinion is shifting, and of course, this has always been the case with civilization. We swing on a pendulum, and it seems as though it's coming back our way. Keith, final word.
Last word. Is there another Brexit in Europe's future? Is there anyone else that is thinking about breaking away from the European Union that might actually accomplish that?
Yeah, that's very interesting. We'll have to see. France, has been talking about it for a while. I actually don't know if that's something they dropped or whatnot. Sadly, my country, Sweden, has not picked up on this. It remains to be seen. Some people have been talking about it, like even in the Netherlands, but are they going to actually follow through on that? Just rumors at this point, nothing clear about that, unfortunately.
Henrik, thanks so much for the time. RedIce.tv, we love you, brother. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. Great having you on. Have a good show, guys. We'll talk soon.
We will. Hey. Henrik Palmgren, everybody, of Red Eyes. We'll be back. We're going to talk more about this topic when we return.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A longtime disgruntled city employee opened fire in a municipal building in Virginia Beach on Friday afternoon, killing 12 people and injuring 4 more before police fatally shot him. Virginia Beach Mayor Bobby Dyer says he's stunned by the shooting.
Today is Virginia Beach's darkest hour. A senseless crime happened and imposed tremendous grief upon the people of Virginia Beach, the Commonwealth, and this country.
This woman was in the building when the shooting occurred.
We just heard people yelling and screaming to get down, and I was on the phone with 911, so I was trying to concentrate on getting talking to them. We put the desk up against the door because we didn't know if they were coming in or anything.
This is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Despite criticism, President Trump is standing by his threat to put more tariffs on goods from Mexico unless they stop the flow of immigrants heading to the U.S. Ben Goldberger is executive editor of Time magazine. He says this threatens a new trade plan the president has worked out with Mexico.
It has been both a personal fixation and a political cause, and it's something that has been bothering him. His inability to stop the flow of migrants through our border has perturbed him since he has taken office. And so now he's betting that he can essentially captivate Mexico's attention with something that otherwise seemed like a totally settled issue, a revised trade agreement with tariffs.
Mexico's president says he thinks U.S. officials have prepared to negotiate on President Trump's threat. Acting Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Kevin McAleenan, testified to a House committee last week. Our immigration system is full, and we are well beyond our capacity. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Always great to be able to collaborate with people like Henrik, a good friend, and he too was attacked by Huffington Post in the very same article. We're going to get to that in the third hour. I'll tell you what's going on there. Huffington Post taking a swipe at yours truly.
And Henrik and you all have the right enemies. That's all I got to say. If the Huffington Post likes you, then you need to really search your soul and find out what you're doing wrong.
Ain't that the truth? But, man, don't miss a minute of tonight's show, folks, because every minute is a worthy minute of your listenership. And as I said a moment ago, we still have so much more to cover. Roy Moore is hinting that he may be running again for the Alabama Senate seat. We're going to talk about that and give you our thoughts on that. This Huffington Post article that we talked about, we're going to revisit the whole expose on Martin Luther King that the American media and Me Too and all of these people that are supposed to be just righteous defenders of truth and virtue are not touching. A very, very curious column from Ann Coulter. This is going to shock you, folks. We're going to get to that in the third hour as well. But first, to continue on with our conversation with Henrik about the recent elections in the European Union. Pat Buchanan, our good friend, the man who essentially is the godfather of TPC, or the...
Your inspiration and mine.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for my time with him, I would have never run for office, and I would have never gotten this radio show. So it all started with Pat. And of course, Pat has made a few appearances on the show.
It all begins and ends with Pat, and we're going back to Pat as usual.
And here we are. So he is our North Star, and again, the surrogate father of TPC. And how about that picture of me and Pat right there? Tell him about it, Keith. What do you see?
Well, I see a very young-looking James. Looks like a newly hatched chick with a full head of hair, and I'm seeing Pat Buchanan without any wrinkles in his face and with a not a gray hair in his head. So it tells you how old that photograph
well,
is.
Well, you know, and what you don't see is us at the Hermitage together. So it was me and Pat. Well, I've told this story. We had a private tour of the Hermitage, and we went to Andrew Jackson's grave, and it was just a... lots of memories. When I write my autobiography, folks, you're going to want to buy it. Let's hope there's many more years to tell in this story before we get
well,
to that.
Well, I do know that Pat Buchanan does think very highly of Andrew Jackson because he always quotes him as a exemplar of presidential courage in the face of judicial tyranny when the Supreme Court ruled his Indian Removal Act unconstitutional. His reply was, Mr. Marshall, that's John Marshall, who was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court at the time, has made his decision. Now let him enforce it. Would that Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan and people like that had the same type of courage that Andrew Jackson had?
You missed a couple of pictures there. So there's me and Pat in California, one of us in Nashville. Anyway, great memories all they were and have been, and it all led us to this moment tonight. Here we are at 7:36 p.m. Central Time on June the 1st, 2019, and we're still going strong, and one step led to another, and we continue forward as a result of that path we charted. But his most recent column is on the elections of the European Union. And this is what he writes, Keith. Liberalism appears to be losing its appeal. A majority in the world's largest democracy, India, consciously used their democratic right to vote to advance sectarian and nationalist ends. Why is liberalism fading away, and why is nationalism ascendant? He asks. And the answer he gives is the former is an idea that appeals to the intellect. The latter, rooted in love of family, faith, tribe, and nation. It is of the heart. And that was the point I was making to the television film crew earlier this week. In its potency to motivate men, liberalism is to nationalism what near beer is to Bombay gin. To be a proud Pole, Hungarian, Italian, or Scotsman has a greater grip on men's love, loyalty, and allegiance than to be a citizen of Europe. Identity politics, people identifying themselves by their ethnicity, nationality, race, culture, and faith, appears to be the world's future, Buchanan writes, and that is exactly what I made clear to this television film crew earlier this week.
Well, you know, one thing that Pat Buchanan has said in the past is that the current peace among European nations is not due to the consolidation towards globalism represented by the European Union, but just the opposite. It's the breaking up of artificial nations like Yugoslavia into their ethnic cohorts and subdivisions, when people are confident that their people are in charge of their government, then they don't have the reasons for disputes and warfare and everything else. Basically, this is God's intention. That read about the doctrine of nations in the Old Testament and you'll find out that's exactly what it is. Kith and kin. When kith and kin can govern themselves, have their own nations, and be secure, then God's in his heaven and all is right with the world.
I talk about all of this on this interview that I gave, and we will watch together to see exactly what makes the final cut. And I don't expect in what will be a 52-minute presentation, which is split between perspective, but the perspective of the left as well. You know, I may end up getting 8 to 10 minutes of airtime. And so I don't expect the entire 8 hours that we've already filmed or what we will still film is all going to make it. But I talk about these things. That was a very big focal point of this interview was American culture, particularly Southern culture. And
there was, I think there's going to be some type of contrast between the new consumer-driven South versus the old South.
Well, that's
and
right.
Guess which side we fall on.
Well, there's no doubt. But basically, a lot of the things that were proven in the most recent elections in Europe that Buchanan was writing about, these were things we were talking about, not just in this television project, but things, of course, we've been talking about for years on end. So, Keith, to you, I would ask your thoughts on what we saw in Europe. I know you've read about this in other articles. You heard Henrik's perspective, but what is your perspective? I mean, of course, again, all we can do is wait and see. But as far as the will of the people, you would have to say that things are shifting. And even though we can't see it yet here, it isn't as tangible here in America as it may be in some of these European nations. It is coming.
I think this third world immigration that the left has engineered for all white nations, both in Europe and in the Anglosphere, America, Canada, Australia, South Africa, every nation. People now understand what the stakes are in the contest between globalism and nationalism, between liberalism and true conservatism. And they are all coming out squarely on the side of nationalism and true conservatism. They do not want to move towards liberalism. They do not want to move towards globalism. They know that both of these things are thinly veiled pretexts to destroy them and their nations. So consequently, I think it's really going to do a wonderful... I think that it would... I'm hopeful that basically the third... the European Union may go the way of the dodo bird, and that would be a wonderful development. And I would like to see the United States do what true conservatives have been asking for since the late 1940s, and that is the pulling out of America from the United Nations.
I'm not laughing at what you said, Keith. I just noticed something. And sorry to circle back to this, folks, but there is one picture that has been glaringly omitted tonight as we look around the room and look at all of these things we pulled out of storage. Can you tell them about that picture you see right there front and center? We didn't make mention of that picture. There it is. You got it in your hand.
It's a picture of you looking like Secret Agent Man with a trench coat and a pair of horn-rimmed glasses and a thick head of hair, shaking hands with none other than the great man himself, Pat Buchanan, in front of a looks like a...
That's actually at the Hermitage.
At the Hermitage.
I didn't
That's
even
you.
See that picture as we were talking about it a moment ago.
I mean, they actually have James looking like a suave international man of mystery.
I don't know where that trench coat came from.
Well,
it was cold. I do remember this. It was cold that day. It was in January. And I think that was my that had to be my grandmother's trench coat.
Well, look, James is grinning like a mule eating briars in this picture.
Yeah, well, I thought you said that's how Rosa Parks used to grin. Anyway, so overall, all news is good news tonight on TPC. Good news from Europe. Good news from our efforts here to represent you and serve as your voice. And we've been having a good time tonight. We're living the memories. I mean, what is life if not a collection of memories as we go forward? And
you need to play Elvis's song.
Well, we're going
to
get Keith, come on. Now, you just gave it away. Why did you do that? We're going to get to that next. So we got a segment on Roy Moore. Roy Moore is considering, or at least hinting at, that he may be considering running for the Senate seat again. So when they had that special
despite
election,
the best efforts of Donald Trump and Ann Coulter and other people to discourage him.
Hang on a minute. We're going to get to it next. Let's play the music.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
Welcome back to Get on the Show. Call us on James's Dime at 866-986-6397.
Well, a hard-headed woman, a soft-hearted man, been in the cause of trouble ever since the world began. Oh, yeah, and the sense of what we get. Listen here to me. Don't you let me catch you messing around that apple tree. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the sense of what we get.
I don't know what it was, Keith, but when we started talking about Roy Moore, that song came to mind. But tell us about that song.
That song was from Jailhouse Rock. That should win you points in Trivial Pursuit.
Now, that's the King of Rock and Roll right there, but not one of his more well-known songs. But, a very politically incorrect song.
Yeah, Jailhouse Rock, though, is probably his best rockabilly number, and that is a great song from a great movie and from a great talent. And we here in Memphis are particularly proud of Elvis since he hails from Memphis and is identified with Memphis. In fact, his home is probably the one legitimate tourist attraction we have in Memphis. One that they've tried to manufacture several others, like the National Civil Rights Museum in Soulsville and Stacks and whatnot. But this is one that grew organically and draws people like the Taj Mahal.
And I like going to Graceland. I won't lie to you. I like Elvis's music. I like, I have even gone to Graceland a few times. But what's around Graceland? You got your check cashing establishments. You got your liquor stores. You got your boarded up.
It's when Whitehaven became Blackhaven, as they say here in Memphis.
Now, tell us what's politically incorrect about this song.
Well, first of all, cotton picking fingers.
Well, hang on, we haven't got to that yet. Here it is, folks. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Keith, you're getting ahead of me all night tonight. Hey, here it is.
Sounds and totally loud and clear. I keep your cotton picking fingers out my curly hair.
All right, there it is.
Okay, well, cotton picking, of course, is reminiscent of slavery. And I'm
because
sure
only, blacks are the only people in the world who ever picked cotton, let me tell you. My white grandparents who were sharecroppers certainly didn't do it.
Oh, yeah, right. But I tell you what, see, cotton picking is a term that was very current back in the 40s and 50s and 60s in the South. It's none of your cotton picking business, I remember hearing somebody tell me one time.
But so, he blames, as the Bible does, I think the Bible blamed every malady on women or
feminists.
Or the
tribe. Not only are the race chauvinists at odds with the lyrics of this song, so are the feminists. And see, that's another one. See, Jezebel, Eve, and Delilah,
and Eve. Now she's the reason this whole mess.
All of these, and all of this is right from the Bible. But of course, the Bible needs to be rewritten because it's politically incorrect, apparently, in the eyes of the Solons of Western civilization.
We're supposed to be doing this segment about, but I like this part too.
I got a woman, a head like a rock. If she ever went away, I'd cry around the clock.
And I'm remembering all of these verses. Remember when you first started playing it?
Yeah, Keith didn't even know we were going to talk about this tonight, but I started playing it during a commercial break. He started singing along to that little ditty. But in any event, why does this remind us of Roy Moore?
Because Roy Moore is one of the old dinosaur type of alpha male men that the left and the politically correct of today find so disconcerting. They want them to go the way of the dodo bird. But Roy Moore is not only refusing to go quietly into that good night, he is basically saying that he's ready to fight another round with the political correct of the world, which unfortunately includes Ann Coulter, who came out against him.
And, of course, Donald Trump.
And Donald Trump. Donald Trump must be a fool. And Ann Coulter needs to consider this. When you find yourself on the same side of an argument as Jared and Ivanka, it's time to reconsider your position.
Well, here's what's going on. So Roy Moore has hinted that he may be considering running again for the United States Senate out of Alabama. So that special election they had was only a 2-year term. This next election, which will be held next year, will be for the full six-year term. So now we know why Roy Moore lost. He lost because of the Republican establishment, plain and simple, cut and dry. That whole
he could
thing,
have won the thing. He very easily.
Well, he was the first one
from Trump. If Trump had come to Alabama and campaigned for him, he would have won.
See,
it.
Trump did a half
and
measure.
Then Trump would have had the best ally he could possibly have in the U.S. Senate with Roy Moore there, but no, he listens to Jared and Ivanka, and so does Ann Coulter. And what happens? He has rug pulled out from under him, and we get a Democrat into that position. How in the world you manage to get a Democrat elected senator in a state as deeply red as Alabama
now, they're blaming,
is a real miracle.
See, now Don Jr. and Trump were blaming that on Roy Moore himself. But no, that wasn't the case. Roy Moore was the first test subject in this whole Me Too BS accusation type hit character assassination. Now, Roy Moore is not a perfect candidate himself. He is a Zionist, but you know what? So is Trump. So Roy Moore is slavishly devoted to Israel. So is Donald Trump. Donald Trump and Don Jr. have denounced me, and so has Roy Moore, frankly. And what it was back in 2015, it was the whole, degrees. Well, let me just say this. It was the whole 6 degrees of separation. So what it was the fact that Michael Perutka, who was the former presidential nominee of the Constitution Party, had donated to Roy Moore's campaign, and Michael Perutka had been interviewed on this show, so therefore Roy Moore had to answer about his ties to a TPC, and he said, well, I don't know anything about it. I denounce racism. So that was a denunciation, I guess you could say, but that was certainly different than Don Jr., who solicited his own appearance on this show, or at least the Trump campaign did, and then they benefited from all that publicity and then acted like they didn't know what the hell was going on. So they both denounced me. They're both slavishly devoted to Israel, but here's the thing.
But that's not the reason why.
Well, here's what I like about Moore. He is a Southerner, and he is a Christian, and that is more than I can say
and
about
that's
the Trumps.
Why President Trump, Jared and Ivanka, and Coulter all came out against him, because he is a typical white Southern Gentile, and God bless him for
that.
Well,
look at what we got out of Trump this week. This is from Donald Trump on May 31st. This was just yesterday, in fact. He put this on Twitter. As we celebrate LGBT Pride Month and recognize the outstanding contributions LGBT people have made to our great nation, let us also stand in solidarity with the many LGBT people who live in dozens of countries worldwide that punish, imprison, and even execute individuals on the basis of their sexual orientation. My administration has launched a global campaign to decriminalize homosexuality and invite all nations to join us in this effort. Look, Globo Homo is what this is. And, you know,
it looks like Ivanka is writing his tweets for him.
That's what I'm saying. So at the end of the day, they've got a lot of the same flaws, but Roy Moore has more going for him, in my opinion, as a Southerner and as a white man from the South and as a Christian from the South than Trump does. And if I had to pick between the two, I'm going to take Roy Moore over the entire Trump family, especially the very weak and wimpy Don Jr. And that's just all there is to it. So this whole thing, Don Jr. was trying to puff his chest this week, and what did he say? If you actually care about MAGA more than your own ego, it's time to ride into the sunset, Judge. Well, you ride into the sunset.
No, and it's not MAGA, it's MIGA, Make Israel Great Again, is what they're trying to do. That's we borrowed that from Brad Griffin.
Well, we've seen it, yeah.
But that's a great one. But let me just tell you this. When you care more, he needs to stop listening and trying to curry favor with the LGBT lobby on one hand, and remember who voted for him, the people in flyover country, i.e. white Southern Gentiles like Roy Moore. You know, as long as Trump gives a wet mitten across the chops to his support, his base, and keeps trying to curry favor with Manhattan liberals who voted against him 3-1, he's doing everything he can to throw the next election. Wake up, smell the coffee, snap out of it, Donald. Remember who your friends are and who your friends aren't.
Well, you know, he may have already thrown the election by doing just about nothing on stopping the flow of illegal aliens that are going to be voting 100% for his opponent, whoever that may be.
All talk and no action. What was that? There's another Elvis song, a little more, a little less conversation, a little more action. That's what we want. As Elvis would advise Donald Trump, that's what we need from Donald Trump. less conversation, more action.
I was one of the holdouts on Trump all the way up until last Christmas when he shut down the government for a few weeks. But then when he waffled on that and caved on that, you know, I can't see myself voting for him right now. It's still a long time till November of 2020. We'll see what happens. And I can always be one back. But right now, it's just I don't see it.
Well, just walk the walk as well as talk the talk, Donald. You said you were going to send refugee applicants to sanctuary cities, but what's happened since then? Not a darn thing.
Well, and even Ann Coulter called him on that. He says these things. She put it out in a tweet this week, but he does nothing, or nearly nothing. But even Ann Coulter was on the anti Roy Moore thing. And we've got like
snap out of it, Ann. My gosh, can't you tell who the most fundamental skill that a person who wishes to succeed in politics needs is how to identify friends from enemies.
And I'm not saying Roy Moore is everything we want him to be. He's not. He has a lot of flaws himself. But, I mean, compared between the two, I'll take him over what we're talking about.
Well, he and Donald Trump are on the same page on that. They're both Zionists.
That's right. And so, like I said, he's not the perfect candidate, but I still have probably more in common with him. Anyway, we're going to tell you what's going on with Huffington Post and their attacks on yours truly, Henrik Palmgren et al. A lot more to come. Stay tuned.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.